Hey everybody, how's it hanging? I hope you guys are doing super, super well. I hope you guys forgive me for my little hiatus. But Jesus Christ, was it a hectic week. You guys, you know, I went on vacation. Not much of a vacation, I'll start by saying that. Maybe got 25 hours of sleep the entire time. It wasn't very relaxing. It turned into just fucking chaos, and I will get into all of that. Update on moving, and my life is insane right now. And we are back. Man, I've been itching to do a podcast. When I don't do it for like a week, if I don't do it at least 7 days, every 7 days once, I swear I get a weird itch for it that I don't want to say I miss talking to you guys, but I really do. It really fucking helps with like the insanity that goes on inside of my own brain. So as you know, Jenna and I moving to North Carolina, which is a huge step. And we thought it was going to be more towards beginning, middle of August. Well, the school that Jenna got a job with didn't mention that new teacher orientation starts today, July 22nd. So she found this out Wednesday or Thursday last week. We had to find an apartment that we can move into almost immediately. Still, I mean, she's staying in a fucking hotel this week because of how unprepared we are on this. So she's living the hotel life. We found an apartment, a little one bedroom, still ridiculously expensive because it's near Charlotte. And it's been chaos. We drove back Saturday, packed her life up. She drove down Sunday morning, got down there around 6 yesterday, and now she's in a hotel, and I can't move down until I find a job, which is stressful as fuck. But I think it'll be, I want to say it'll be good, but like, no, not even but like, but what pissed me off about this whole thing is like, I think she was getting bad advice from people around her, which isn't fair for her, but like her family was just so about it, and it's like it just feels so rushed. And I get that sometimes shit is rushed, but this is so rushed that I just feel like so if you move 7 hours away from your home, from your family, from your support system, that's hard enough, right? It's hard enough that if things go bad, you don't have much help. Now you do all that, and it feels like everything is thrown together into a ball, and we're just hoping nothing falls apart. That's how it feels. And obviously, I want to be down there because if you guys don't know, my uncle lives down there, who's more like a big brother figure, because, you know, my mom had me when she was young. That's her youngest brother. So he's 30 or 31, 25. It's like more of a big brother dynamic. So I'm excited about that. It's just, it's it's a lot, man. Obviously, I want to be with Jenna. I want to be down there. But her family is so over-the-top excited, and my family is so over-the-top pessimistic, I'll say. Her family is like, oh my God, yeah, let's do it, just do it. Like, anything, it's in God's hands now. That's like her family. My family is like, you know, you don't have money, you don't have furniture, you don't have this. And it's like, dude, I'll say the most supportive person that has been kind of like, you need to figure it out for yourself and just try it. If the best piece of advice I got was from my uncle's girlfriend, Miranda, who said, if you wait until the right time, you'll never end up doing anything. That's what I keep re-saying in my head. You know, if I wait for the right time, it's not going to happen. There is no right time. This just feels like, this whole thing just feels like such not the right time. But, you know, we're going to try it for a year. We'll see how it is. If we're struggling bad, then obviously after a year, just not going to work. But I'm excited to be down there. I'm excited for Jenna to start teaching, because that's all that girl wants. So I'm happy for her, and I'm happy to start a different chapter. Oh man. Anyway, what's new with you people? So our vacation, Jesus, we didn't, like I said, there's really nothing worth noting on the vacation. It was a clusterfuck. It really was. It was a lot. But anyway, I guess if anybody has some advice on moving, for sure DM me. For sure DM me if you have any advice. I saw in the news that I don't even have this saved like to talk about. I just saw that this guy got arrested for trying to smuggle in $32,000 of cocaine under his toupee. And like the picture, if you just Google man busted for smuggling cocaine under toupee, dude, it was like, what the fuck was this guy thinking? It was, I don't know. Man. Dude, I write these notes to talk about. Jesus Christ. I know I said I was going to talk about the NBA trades, but like, I don't care, man. My focus now is totally gearing towards football and fantasy football. I'm excited for fantasy football this year for some reason. Probably because I'm going to have so much fucking downtime in North Carolina. Not downtime, but like time to just research football because I don't know anybody. But you know, whatever. Shit. I was reading, I don't know if it was Aubrey Marcus's book, the one that I told you guys about on the day on your life, or if it was a podcast with him, but I was listening to it, and sometimes, dude, sometimes you listen to a podcast, and it is exactly what you need to hear. I was listening to, I'm pretty sure it was a podcast, which also, with podcasts, like, my gears for podcasts have kind of switched from, like, The Fighter and the Kid, Whiskey Ginger, King and the Sting, like, the comedy ones. I still listen to them. I just don't wait for them to come out like I do with some of these other ones now, like Aubrey Marcus, obviously Rogan still. Radiolab. There's a Neil deGrasse Tyson one that sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Your Mom's House podcast, that one is like, I love Tom Segura and I love Christina Pajitsky, but dude, their podcast, like the producer in the background is always like laughing. Like everything that they say is the funniest thing that they've ever heard. And it's so frustrating. If that dude thinks it's that funny, that's cool. But it's hard for me to believe that these people, these producers are laughing that hard. It's like they just want their laugh to be heard. Does that make sense? It would be like if I had a producer that was 30 feet away from me, and then you just hear in the background him like laughing really loud instead of a occasional giggle or like a laugh every now and then. It's every joke that they tell, this dude is laughing his ass off. And the first time I listened to it, I was like, oh, you know what? I get it. But now when I listen to it, it takes away from the show. And I mean, obviously they're not losing listeners, but just for me, that I don't want to hear. It's not my cup of tea anymore. I still like the shit that they talk about. It's just it's harder and harder to pay attention when that's going on in the background. But back to sometimes needing to hear a podcast. I was listening to Aubrey Marcus. I forget who he had on, but they were talking about the inner Sisyphus challenge, right? That's the Titan that he was punished by having to push the boulder up the hill every single day, and then, you know, he pushed the boulder up the hill, and then it rolls back down at the end of the day. And I was thinking, like, that really is... That's really how life is. You know what I mean? Like, the challenge doesn't stop. There is no end goal here. I feel like a lot of us have this vision of, like, when we're 50 or 60 and we're sitting on a beach watching the sunset. It's like, dude, if that's what you're living your life for, just jump on a sword at that point. It's the struggle doesn't stop. It just changes every time. And you got to pick your own struggle. Cuz if you're struggling and you're doing something you love, look, dude, at least you love it. If you're struggling and you're doing something you hate, or wondering what if you did do something you liked, that's like you're living in hell. And that's the reason I say I needed that, is because if we move and we're struggling, at the very least I have my uncle Miranda's down there. Oh, and not to mention I'm with the love of my life, and we're in a beautiful area. But if we didn't do this and we waited, and I don't know, maybe a year goes by and we're still not ready, and we just keep pushing it off and pushing it off, and just like, you know, just like Miranda said, if you wait for the right time, you're never doing it. So if I am going to struggle, I'm going to struggle on my terms. I'm not going to struggle on what people think is best for you. Because while like the people that are giving you advice, and for the most part, have your best interest in their mind, sometimes you need to just silence that shit and do something for you. Try something for you. Which is like that inner Sisyphus challenge of, look, man, if I roll this fucking hill, roll this boulder up the hill, and it rolls back down, and it stops an inch or two before the last spot, I'm winning. Every day, you got to wake up, and you got to roll that fucking, that boulder up the hill. And you got to pick what that boulder for you is going to be. You can't just, I mean, so many parents want your kid to, like, figure it out right after high school. This was a Gary Vee clip. I actually posted this, like, on my Twitter or something. But basically, he was saying there is no figuring it out. Let me see if I have the video so I can just play it for you guys. Like I said, though, there is no figuring it out. And, like, these parents want their kids. Here it is. Let me know if you guys agree with this.
Eliminate figuring it out. There is no fucking figuring it out. There is no out. It doesn't end. The fuck are you talking about? What, getting a job in an accounting firm when you're 23, you figured it the fuck out? Getting married at 29, you figured it out? What the fuck are we talking about here? There is no figuring it out.
It's an endless, infinite loop of figuring.
And so if you're a 57-year-old and forcing your 22-year-old to figure it out because you want to look good to your friends that your child figured it out, not you want your kid to...
The secret. The ego gets activated again because you can shit on those other parents whose kid...
You should know better. You love your child? Yeah. You should tell them to never figure it the fuck out.
I think that is one of my favorite, absolute favorite clips of Gary Vee. I love listening to Gary Vee talk his shit. You know, I get pissed off sometimes when he doesn't really give you advice and he's just talking shit, saying, you need to figure it out, right? You need to figure it out. Just do this, that. But, like, he's kind of running circles around actually giving you advice. But that clip, I think if more people listened to it and took it to heart, they would realize that he's not lying. It's that inner Sisyphus challenge. There's no figuring it out. If you take that job in accounting, chances are you're going to fucking hate your life because it's a boring job. If you're answering phones all day, or you're fucking whatever it is that people think are these safe jobs, chances are you're going to hate it. I just think you should fail on your own terms. I've been thinking about, you know, I think a lot about, like, materialism and shit and the impact it has on mental health. And it's like, dude, you see, like, Zucks or Gary Vee or Rogan or, like, super successful people, they're not wearing the fucking Gucci shirt that costs $200. They're wearing a shirt that looks like a $20 shirt from Target. Chances are it's more expensive, but they're not flaunting the Gucci. Or I like the quote of the $100 wallet and the $5 wallet hold the same amount of money. What the, like, if you're trying to make a better life for yourself, dude, what are you doing spending $500 on a pair of shoes because they're a limited release? Like, what are you really doing? It's these weird little ego boosts we get. It's just like a little shot at fucking dopamine. And then that wears off, and you got to buy something else to compensate, to bring you some more happiness. There's so many people that are getting the house that they can't afford, or, like, here's an example. We're looking at two bedrooms, and basically everyone started at around $1,300, and none of them include utilities. This is for a two-bedroom fucking apartment. We thought about it, and do we need that? No. Would it be nice? Yeah. Do we need it? Absolutely fucking not. So we went down to a one-bedroom, which basically all start at 900 without utilities. So that's basically where we're at for our apartment. But it's just, yeah, okay, we can't afford it, so let's not do that. We're going to go down, do what we can afford until shit gets better. Now that is something that you can wait on. You don't have to wait on the actual executing the moving. What you can do is cut down on certain expenses that you don't need. I read something that said most people, it said majority of people spend over $250 a year on streaming services that they're not using. Now, I know $250 a year isn't that much, but it's on shit that they're not using. That's $250 a year that you're basically just throwing out. Take $250, light it on fire. That's what they're doing. It's shit like that that you could cut down on. Like, it just blows my mind how we just waste money and then complain that we have none. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to fucking go out and spend $5 on a Corona every night. So many people complain about how they don't have money, yet they're going out and spending $40 or $50 at the bar. Like, what are you doing? Take a step back, figure out what the fuck you want to do, and put your time that you're binge watching Netflix, or you're binging Stranger Things or The Office. Take a step back, figure out what you want to do, and find a way to make money from that. The reality is, most of us, all of us, suck at a lot of shit. We suck at a ton of stuff. And for all of us, there's a handful of things that we're good at. If you can find a way to make money from one of those things that you're good at, so be it. I actually posted like the poll of if you guys wanted a... I think we are going to do this. A branch of the podcast. It's not going to be a different podcast. It's just going to be this, that, and those. And then the episode titles will be called... whatever episode or number one, blank whatever number two. And it's gonna be when I go out. Oh, fuck. When I go to garage sales or Goodwill or thrift store or whatever it is. And basically, I will get the microphone hooked into my phone and go to these things, tell you exactly what I'm looking for, what I'm buying, how much I'm paying for it, how much the shipping will be. I'll break it all down and tell you how much money you can make. And you're going to at least, if like you can use an extra $100 to $200 to $300 a week, you're going to want to listen to these podcasts. They're probably going to start once I move. Maybe I'll do one before just so you could get a little taste of it. But yeah, I think I can help you guys make money while doing something I enjoy. That's one of the side things I like is flipping shit. So if that's something that you guys are interested in, for sure stay tuned, because I think maybe this weekend if there's any garage sales around here, I'll do it. But it'll be like the negotiating and everything. Just like Gary Vee does it on YouTube. It's called Trash Talk. I think there's like 4 or 5 episodes. But it's going to be similar to that, except I guess mine's going to be more realistic. His is, he finds one price that it sold for, and that's what he says he makes. I'll be more realistic about it, and I'll show you guys that you can make, definitely $100 to $300 extra a week. Which, like, if that can help you, which it could help most people, that's like, dude, an extra $100 to $200 a week, that's a different place to live. And if you put all your time in that, you could definitely make some real money. I don't know if it's something you could really live off of. I know there's people that do it, but you need to really do your fucking research if you're going to do that. This is going to be more for, like, if you're just trying to get into it, or if you are into it and you kind of, I don't know, you want some pointers on it. And like I said, it's going to be fucking realistic. I'm not going to honey dick you guys. Oh shit. We saw The Lion King, the new one. Woo-hoo! Dude, Disney hit a home run with this one. You know that I'm a hater when it comes to shit. I feel like I'm either a hater or it's the best thing I've ever seen. And I think that's just like, it's either the worst or the best. There's no in between for me. I never really say anything was okay. but goddamn, The Lion King was good. There's like maybe a few scenes where like the voices kind of didn't match up with like the mouths, but 92% of this movie was a home run. Now Jenna, I don't know what kind of childhood she had, but never saw The Lion King, the original. So Jenna didn't know, spoiler alert, that Scar murders Mufasa. And the first time this girl sees that, she's a 24-year-old, and it's a live-action type of movie. It's super HD, and it looks like a lion murders his brother, and they're talking about it. Now, the Jenster is a bit of a softy, just like me. I looked over, and my girl was hysterically crying when Mufasa fell. And I wanted to tell her that it was just a movie, but I think everybody needs to have their first impression of that scene be left alone. So I didn't say anything smart to her. Nothing. And you know I'm a smartass. I wanted to. And I thought, you know what? This is the first time she's seeing this. And I don't need to interfere with that. So I let her cry. I let her cry at fucking Mufasa's very realistic death. It was sad. Dude, it was really sad. I don't know who played Simba, but Jesus, did that dude have a voice on him. Let me figure out who played him real quick, because I feel like I'm going to feel like an asshole because I didn't know. Wow, Rotten Tomatoes only gave it a 54%. Oh, wow. Okay, Donald Glover played Simba, so I do feel like an asshole. And for some reason, I feel like I knew that. I feel like I did know that. I knew Beyonce was Nala. Seth Rogen killed it as Pumbaa. Oh, wow, John Oliver was Zazu. The hyenas, those guys were great. The hyenas. Yeah, man, it was a really good movie. Well done. Let me see what people are saying. Oh, IMDb 7.2 out of 10. I don't understand I don't get why people didn't like it. Beyonce's Lion King, The Gift tries to do a bit too much. I agree with that. I feel like Beyonce did not do good at Nala, as Nala. She also wasn't... She's just not a good actress. Can we say that? Dude, I hope the fucking Beehive comes at me. Oh, I hope they come at me. Because I will tear them apart. Dude, I will come at you with Raid. If you guys come at me... Oh, I should have just shit on Beyonce this whole time. So that I can make some fucking headlines. You know what, man? Beyonce, not a good actress. Has the voice of an angel. The voice of an angel. But her acting, below par. Right? What else was she in? Let me see. I know she was in Goldmember and she fucking sucked in that too. Beyonce acting. Let's see what she's in. Movies, bingo. Homecoming, don't know what that is. Don't know what any of this stuff is because I'm not a big Beyonce fan. I just remember in Austin Powers sucking, and then in The Lion King, she was like, she just wasn't that good, man. That's all. Really, I do hope the Beehive comes at me. Buzz, buzz, bitch. So stupid. Stupid. Where all that shit that I was just looking at go? Lion King, Aladdin, and I don't want to see the new Aladdin. I mean, I probably will when it comes out, but like, I'm not gonna pay to go see that one. Oh wow, so the Lion King just completely demolished ratings. 185 million opening weekend. Jesus Christ. I wonder how much that movie costs to make. Because it's not like... I don't know. Don't see the Lion King remake. Okay, hater. I'm here to tell you to see it. I liked it. And I don't really care what you guys say. If you didn't like it, cool. Don't care. Don't care. I don't know, man. Oh, man. That show Love After Lockup? Oh, boy, is it getting juicy. Is it getting juicy? If you guys, please tell me you watched it. One episode. It's on WeTV, I think it's called. That might be wrong. Look up Love After Lockup. It's actually Life After Lockup. You know that guy that I said was the top shitty couples, Clint and the meth Tracy. Oh boy, so when Tracy left Clint for motherfucking crack, and he was basically by himself, he started, you know, DMing another chick. Let's hope that she was in jail as well. I think her name was Sophie or Stephanie, something like that. They were taking a picture in Vegas because that's what you do when your crackhead girlfriend gets off parole. You take her straight to Vegas. So dumb. And so they're in Vegas. They're trying to take pictures. He's all upset. He's like, it's like a crackhead is taking care of like a mentally disabled person. It's kind of what it's like, so it's kind of sad, but it's also so entertaining that, I mean, what are you going to do? But they're taking these pictures and a text comes up. So and I guess he was sexting her still. And Tracy was like, who is this? You're sexting her. And then she runs into the bathroom with his phone. He's pounding on the door like, let me in. Give me my phone. And It's, oh man, it's a shit show. This show is so bizarre, and that's kind of how that one got ended. Like that couple's little story got ended. The other one is what the hell is his name? Steve and Jasmine. Steven, no, because Jasmine's her daughter. It's Scott. Scott and Lizzie. That's what it is. Scott and Lizzie. They broke up. She came back, wanted to take him to a picnic. They go to a picnic on the beach. He fucking whips out an engagement ring, like, will you marry me again, basically? She's like, Scott, I don't want your ring. I just want to date you. He throws a $4,000 ring into the ocean. So if you live near Scott's beach, fucking go surfing. Try and find that ring, because it's $4,000. Idiots. This dude has no money. No money. And he bought a ring for this chick that doesn't really even like him. Or does like, I don't know. It's a mess. Bring your brooms, because it's a mess. Anyway, guys. Yeah. Shit. Let's see what's going on Google. If there's anything else we want to talk about today. Mr. Rogers movie, Tom Hanks. What? Fuck it. Let's watch this shit. Big fan of Mr. Rogers. What a good guy. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood is what it's called.
Hello, neighbor. Hey, I'm looking for Fred Rogers. In here. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? You be mine.
Wow.
Please won't you be my neighbor. Hello, neighbor. Mr. Rogers, I'm here to interview you. It is so nice to meet you.
You okay?
Profiling Mr. Rogers.
Boyd. Please don't ruin my childhood.
This piece will be for an issue about heroes. Do you consider yourself a hero?
We are trying to give the world positive ways of dealing with their feelings.
Yeah? Like what?
There are many things you can do. You can play all the lowest keys on a piano at the same time.
Dude, is there anything Tom Hanks can't do?
Like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help. And that's okay.
I hope he's not like a dick.
I think the best thing we can do is to let people know that each one of them is precious.
Wow. So, that should be fucking good. I guess it's like based on a true story. I don't know exactly what the fuck that really was. Something about 2 minutes of footage, but immediately clear that Tom Hanks is the perfect actor to portray Mr. Rogers. Agreed. Biopic. Okay. I thought it was going to be like... Okay, so it's based on... Wait. impact to others with the lens of his relationship with journalist Lloyd Vogel. It was based on real-life Esquire journalist Tom Junod. So it's... okay. Yeah, it's... watch that trailer and tell me what you guys think, but... it, his movement, everything is very weird. How serious that was. Chaos erupts as judge executes sentence for Tracy Hunter. Former Tracy Hunter. I don't know, served 6 month sentence, posed more than four. I don't know anything about this, but people are going crazy about it. Serve a 6 month sentence imposed more than 4 years ago. Been allowed to remain out of jail. People were shouting, Hunter supporters had pled. Pack judge. Wait, what the fuck's going on with this lady? What did she do? I don't have time to read all this. This is a long thing. Am I, like, super uninformed on this, or what? You know what? I'm not even going to say anything just because I feel like I am just super uninformed about a lot of shit. And I talk, and it just sounds dumb. And I feel like people get mad at me when I do that. I really... it's not, like, my favorite thing, but I feel like... I feel like people get really mad at me when I talk about shit that is uninformed, and when people talk and they're like, oh, when I talk and people get mad at me, I always feel the need to not defend myself, but like, I'm just reading these stories. And sometimes I'm just not informed about them. And I apologize for that. I should be more informed if I'm talking about something. But sometimes I see a story that looks intriguing and I start reading it. And I don't know enough to keep talking about it. So I just stop. But like I said, whatever. Anyway, like I said, Beyonce... not a good Nala. And I really do hope that the Beehive comes after me for this. Because, like I said, I'm going to come back at you with some raid. And I don't care if you don't like that opinion. Nala should not have been played by Beyonce. Beyonce should not be an actress. She should just stick to music. She has a beautiful voice. It's working for her. So, stick to that. You ruined Nala for me. The rest of the movie, amazing. And when Jenna cried when Mufasa died, spoiler alert, if you don't know that, don't really know what to tell you. But my goodness, she was so sad, and I let her experience it. Because you need to experience that scene without interruption. I didn't want to be a dick, so I let her experience it. End of story. Yeah, I guess we can end here for the day. So, you guys should have already known what was coming. And
Hakuna Matata.
Until next time.
What a wonderful phrase.
Peace.
Hakuna Matata. It ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your day.
Why, when he was a young warthog,
when I was a young warthog,
How you feeling?
It's an emotional story.
He found his aroma lacked a certain appeal. He could clear the savannah after every meal.
I'm a sensitive soul, although I seem thick-skinned. And it hurt that my friends never stood down
in me. I was always here for you, and I resent
that. Oh, the shame.
Yes, he was ashamed.
I thought of changing my name.
I mean, to what, Brad?
And I got downhearted. Are you gonna stop me?
No, I'm not. You disgust me.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
Yeah, sing it, kid.
It's a problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.